Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series, Living During the Tribulation. The false rapture teaching is one of the cruelest jokes Lucifer ever pulled on Christianity. When it failed to materialize, millions of Christians begged to receive the microchip and pledged their loyalty to the supreme leader. This false doctrine originated with a Jesuit priest named Manuel de Lacunza, a Kabbalistic crypto-Jew from Santiago, Chile. Lacunza's rapture teaching moved to Europe and found its way to North America. Christians were soon convinced to abandon their involvement in county, state, and federal government positions because Jesus was returning. Men like Edward Irving, John Darby, and Cyrus Scofield became disciples of the new rapture doctrine, and it only took 150 years for this heresy to become mainstream in evangelical, Pentecostal, and Baptist churches. This message is entitled, The Rapture Hoax. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to be speaking today on part number two, and we called it The Rapture Hoax. And this might come as a surprise to a number of people. Some people might get angry. But regardless, we're going to look at the scriptures, we're going to look at history, and we're going to see what actually has taken place. I want to make a couple of statements here to begin with, and these are not on your outlines. You might want to write them down. This is important to understand that. The first statement I want to make is this. The spirit world is eternal. The spirit world is eternal. The spirit world has always existed, always will exist. It has no beginning, it has no end. Just like God has always existed, no beginning, no end. The physical world has a beginning and an end. The problem with that you and I have as human beings is simply this, that we do not understand that our physical world is a replica of the spirit world. Remember in Hebrews, where it says that the temple in Jerusalem, prior to that, the tabernacle. Remember reading in the five books of Moses, where God said, this is how you make it, this is how you make the altar, these are the stitches you make, this is how I want it to be done. And so the tabernacle, or the tent, in the desert, was a replica of the tabernacle in the city of God, which is in the spirit world, outside this creation. And this is why it says in Hebrews that Jesus did not go to the temple in Jerusalem after his resurrection and presented the blood, but he went up into heaven, into the capital of God, to the real temple. And there he presented his blood. Things in the spirit world are solid. Amen. You see us here, we're having today, we got airplanes, we got cars, we got computers, we got telephones, we got all kinds of different things. All these are replicas of a technology that is beyond what you and I can think of that exists in the spirit world. The next statement I want to make is this. The spirit world rules the physical world. The spirit world rules the physical world. Understand this. You are either moved by the Holy Spirit, or you are moved by unholy spirits called demons or evil spirits. Every human being on this earth is ruled, guided from the spirit world. Either the Holy Spirit or unholy spirits. I want to read to you now from John chapter 4 and verse number 21. It's verses you have read many times, but I want you to have a deeper understanding today. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither this mountain nor yet the Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is set to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." If you have unforgiveness in your heart, if you have sins that you have not repented of, you cannot worship God. You don't have truth. God is a spirit. He's in the spirit world. It has always existed. And to come to him, we must come to him in spirit, which means our born-again spirit, not the soul, and truth. If you have a fight with somebody, verbal, and then you don't clear it up, later you try to pray, heaven is brass. You got to repent, or your prayer is not going to go above the ceiling. If you understand that, we will understand what's happening on the earth and where we are going. I'm going to take on a journey. I have never preached like this before in my life. And this is what God laid upon my heart, the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart to do it this way. And that is in a allegory type, but it's a truth based upon the scriptures and upon our technology, what we know, what has happened in the world, and what is projected to happen. So I want you right now to move you up another 50 years or so into the future. And we've had the Antichrist, which you call the supreme leader, had taken power. And we have the false prophet to be called a pastor. He's the one that is doing the spiritual stuff. And so they're having a problem. And the problem is that people are not sure that the supreme leader is God with a small g. And the pastor is thinking about this. How can we spin this? How can we educate people to simply believe what we want them to believe? Well, let's use the media, the TV. To those of you that are born after 1980, this statement does not make any sense to you. But we did not have television in Sweden until about 1958. And when I got to the United States in 63, I had a black and white television set. We didn't have any color. And that had not really yet progressed to that place. And we had a statement saying this: "I saw it on TV, it's got to be truth. I saw it on TV, it has to be truth." Well, that's really how most people get the information. So the pastor simply said this: here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a documentary. And we're going to take people back in time. And we're going to show them what Lucifer did, how brilliant he was, and how he destroyed the Christian churches. The Supreme Leader said, wow, yeah, I remember hearing about that. You know, we got these documentaries, and they swayed people. They swore by it. So, you know, spare nothing. Get the production going. Get the actors. Get everybody in there. Get going. So the pastor is simply very happy now. He got a project that he can do. And he has with him now, he has different departments. And let me just read this here to you here. The pastor rubs his hands in joy and says the cruelest joke Lucifer ever pulled on Christianity was the rapture teaching. When the rapture failed to materialize, it destroyed the faith of millions of and the Christian begged to receive the microchip. The Supreme Leader grinned, showing his ugly, rotten teeth, and said, this was the greatest hoax ever pulled, and we could destroy any remaining vesture of groomed Christian thinking from our citizens. He said to told the pastor this, I was groomed as a child in the Kabbalah. I know a lot of things that was important to me. I had visions from Lucifer, and I want to be interviewed because I have a lot of information that I can share. So the pastor thinks this is an excellent idea, and he sets out to inform the research department, the historical department, the finance department, the propaganda department on the plan. He barks at an order and simply said, we want it done right away. Let me slow down and ask you a question. Have you noticed this? If you have a person that dies, that might be a movie star or music star or a politician, have you noticed they make a little program? And they're pulling up video clips, some of them going back to the early 20th century. Have you ever thought about where do they get that stuff from? Years ago, the television networks, the movie industry, simply made a decision back in the early 1900s to have archives of audio recordings, movie recordings, later by television. It only takes a network 24 hours after somebody dies. And the next day they have all this money. You seen that? Why are they doing that? Because they know this. Whoever controls the past controls the future. So, all official records and material had been removed from the public areas. But they were certain of Kabbalistic leadership, and they had all the records. And they were able to determine what had taken place. They compared it with Christian records. And then the pastor prays to Lucifer. He needs to know what really happened in the spirit world. And Lucifer was happy to answer him. In the spirit world, in Satan's kingdom, they have a religious and a financial department that have existed since the time of Adam and Eve, staffed by angels who have held the same job for 6,000 years. Angels do not age, and they certainly do not retire. The same fallen angel who wrote the manuscript for Lucifer, when Lucifer went to tempt Eve, they had written a manuscript and said, follow this. They're still at work. Now, what about the rapture doctrine? A year later, after Lucifer and the pastor decided to do this, the research department came to the conclusion that the false rapture teaching that was pushed on the Christians dated back to between 1731 and 1801. Now, let's slow down and think. When God wanted to establish the people, the nation of Israel, did he call a committee? Did he get a group of people? No. He called one man, Terah, and said, Terah, get out of the place in Ur, Sodom, Iraq. Go to the land of Canaan. And Terah took his son Abraham and his family. They moved to Haran. Terah simply said, it's a nice city. He stopped. He forgot. He simply said, God, I'm not going to go to Canaan. God called Abraham, one man. Abraham is the father of the people of Israel. When God needed to get the people out of Egypt, did he have a committee? Did he have a youth group? He called one man, Moses. In history, you will find that God, from the spirit world, always took one person, gave them the information, and that person developed it. Lucifer do the same thing. Now, did God send down a committee from heaven of his son, of angels, that set up a colony outside Jerusalem, had a compound where angels were working, where they could be seen with Jesus? There were angels that came and sang when he was born. His body was born. But Jesus had just himself. Jesus is the author of the Old Testament. He's the author of the New Testament. And the entire church of Jesus Christ is based upon one man. Jesus, God and man incarnated. So in the spirit world, they never call a group of people. It is always one person that then is anointed either by the Holy Ghost or by unholy spirits. So the Satan simply said now to the religious department, I need you to find me a man that we can use to simply tell people that there's going to be a rapture before the tribulation. So they found Manuel de la Cunha, who lived between 1731 and 1801. Now, he was a Kabbalistic crypto-Jew following the teaching of Rabbi Sabbatai Zvi, who declared himself to be the Messiah in 1666. Now, most of you had never heard about Sabbatai Zvi. You never heard about 1666. And so you have a blank here. But if you, today, this afternoon, go on the internet, Google Sabbatai Zvi, you will find his story. And he was a Kabbalistic Jew. They simply proclaimed him to be the Messiah in 666, and he then proclaimed that to serve God, you sin. The more you sin, the faster we get the Holy Serpent out of the abyss, and the faster the Messiah will come. And the worst a pastor can do is to convert to a different type of religion. And this is what Lacunza did. He became a Roman Catholic. He joined the worst of their religious orders, the Jesuits, bunch of murderers. Now, in the outline, I simply said this, and this was shown on the documentary in heaven, they showed Muhammad, who in 610 outlined a religious Islamic religion. And again, Joseph, not Joseph Smith, but we have here Muhammad, one person. How many Muslims are there in the world today, 2020? Approximately 1 billion. That's a lot of people. How did the devil get a billion people? He got them by getting one man that he anointed with evil's power. And over the years, read history. The religious department, they're always working on new religions. And they came up with a brilliant idea and said, you know, we're going to have a new religion that we need to introduce. It's called the Mormon religion. And so again, the religious department were looking at and said, okay, who do we have on earth right now that we can take and bamboozle? And they found this sorry-looking guy, Joseph Smith. And Joseph Smith was a failure. He had been to Baptist churches, and he didn't like that. He'd been to other churches. He became a Freemason, and he was a rebel rouser. He was really a thief and a rascal. And so that's exactly what the devil wants. So here's now Joseph Smith out in the field someday, you know, just walking around, and here comes an angel of light. Hey, Joseph, you know, Jesus failed. You have been called, chosen, to restore the church. And Joseph goes, oh. And then he receives the plates and everything else. And you have the Mormon religion born. Did a lot of destruction. But up in the religious department, it said, the Christian church is too strong. We got to do something about it. Because Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the earth. So after Martin Luther had the Reformation, the Christians got involved in politics. I remember in the 70s and 80s where they simply told us politics is dirty. No Christian should be involved in politics. Christians were involved in education. They were doctors, lawyers. They were everywhere. And because Christians were everywhere, the society was going in the direction that Satan said, I don't like this. I got to corrupt them. How do I do it? The religious department said, no problem. We have a plan called the rapture. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians right now, chapter 11. And I want us to read verse number 13 and 14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transform themselves into the apostle of Christ, and no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. When Lucifer came to Muhammad, he didn't say, I am the devil. He said, I'm God. I'm light. Same thing to Joseph Smith. By 2020, the researchers in the Antichrist system discovered that the fallen angels that sit in the religious department, they're sitting there with their computers, and they're writing, designing religions, that there were 4,300 religions on earth in 2020, which means that there's a religion for every person. If you don't like this, you go over here, you go there, you want to shop around. It's like, you know, you go to a shopping mall, and you got 4,300 different stores. And all of them have neon lights and flashing and say, you know, hey, our religion, it's their religion, come and join us. Now, so Lucifer now had his religious department work. his political department. So he decided now, we got Lacunza, we got him a vision. He's written down a rapture where he simply said that before the Antichrist comes, before the Great Tribulation, all Christians will be removed. It's not in the Bible, but that's what he was given. So he had now written a manuscript. But he's sitting in Chile. Nothing is happening in Chile. So they need to move him to Europe. How do you move him to Europe? Well, the political department said it's not a problem. We will simply create a crisis for the King of Spain. And we will talk to him and tell him that you need to get rid of the Jesuits, expel them from South America, from Spain. And exactly what happened. And now Lacunza finds himself in Italy, out of a job. The Jesuit order has now been absolved by the king and the pope, and he sits there now. So he has written a manuscript to three books. He not only had a rapture, but he talks about other things that will happen. So as Lacunza tried to get this stuff out, the pope simply bans it and says, no, these teaching is banned. Now, the Pope is part of Satan's kingdom, but God used him. So, the Jews then said, the Kabbalistic Jews, which is part of the world government, they simply rewrote it, got a manuscript, printed it, and said, this was written by Rabbi Juan Josephat Ben Ezra. And now they were able to get the books out in Spanish. Now, in the religious department, in the spirit world, they said, okay, we got this far. But the center of Christianity is not in Europe. It's in England and America. So they searched. Where can we find someone in England that we can use? And they simply search over, and they found this guy by the name of, let me get right here now, so we got Edwin Irvin. And so we go on to page number 3. So let me take a look now what happened in the spirit world. As they now got the Lacunza doctrine ready, one of the fallen angels piped up and said, Lucifer, we got a problem here. Because in the Bible, it stated that there were Christians during the tribulation period. And he quoted them. So let's look what he said. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. And he said, this is what Jesus said. And we read it from verse number 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever reads, let them understand. Now, Jesus is not talking about New York. Jesus is not talking about London. He's talking about Jerusalem, the temple. Then let him which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him which is in the housetop not come down, take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field, return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in the days. But pray you that your flight be not in the winter, neither in the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, nor to this time, nor to ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, the church, those days shall be shortened. He then turned to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you pick it up here from verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are gathered together to him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letters from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So before anything can happen, this is going to have to be done. And then you turn to Revelation chapter 13. And I want you to know that in the religious department, they have King James Bibles. Satan only uses King James Bibles because he wants to make sure that they are accurate in a fight against God. They give us the bastard Bibles. Revelation 13, 6 through 9. And he, this is the Antichrist, opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints, the Christians, and to overcome them, and power given him of all kings and tongues and nations. There are Christians here. In chapter 14, we read from verse number 9. And the third angel followed and sang with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink out of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of the torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. If there are no Christians here, who are they talking about? Well, Satan, I was really upset. And he asked the religious department, is this true? And I said, yes. We have millions of Bibles by this time. This is about 1700 something now on the earth. And this is true. And the director said, for about 1,000 years, we've been burning Bibles. We've been burning people at the stakes. We tried to destroy it. Then we got this dude, Martin Luther. He's a Roman Catholic church priest, a monk. The Holy Spirit came, he got saved. We tried to kill him, but the holy angels were around, we couldn't get to him. He translated the Bible into German. The German people are reading the Bible. Now, the religious director says, in England, we were able to burn William Tyndale at the stake. He had translated the Bible into English, and we got the religious department there working with the Church of England, and we burned him. But we got a problem. A few years later, the Holy Spirit moved upon a King James that ordered the Tyndale Bible to be taken out, to be gone over by scholars, and they produced the King James Bible. Satan is furious. He simply called them idiots. How could you have lost that war? And the director said, we can't fight the Holy Spirit. We cannot fight holy angels. We can only fight people when they come into our hands. Now, before Lucifer terminated the cabinet meeting he held, the director for the propaganda department raised his hand and said, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. My department will come up with a lie. We will repeat it unto people and swear it is truth. And Lucifer said, how are you going to do that? The director said he would inform the demons in his department to begin talking to pastors, teachers, and church members, telling them that the Christians, with Jesus and Paul mentioned, are people who got saved after the rapture. I was told that. I was told, who are the people that come into the thousand-year kingdom? Oh, these were people that got saved after the rapture. Really? Where does it say that in the Bible? Well, we don't have that in the Bible, but that's the conclusion we came from. Well, that came from the religious department in the spirit world. So now we got Lacunza doctrine arrives in England. Edward Irving. He simply started a church called in 1832 that was called the called an Apostolic Holy Church. And the thing is this, they spoke in tongues. They prayed for the sick. They got healed. Now, Irvin had been studying in Spanish. That was a hobby for him. So the religious department in the spirit world simply said, now we need to move the manuscript from Italy and Spain. From Italy to Spain, from Spain to London. So the Lacunza doctrine was published in London in Spanish. A copy was given to Irvin. He read it. Demas said, this is the revelation, man. He believed it. And he began to translate it into English. So now we had the Lacunza doctrine translated into English by Irvin. Then the demons simply said, we got to give him some more stuff. And they gave him a vision. It's a damnable vision that doctrine has continued to this day, that Jesus was not God incarnated. That's what Judaism teach, that he was just a man. So now, Irvin attended conferences, prophetic conferences, brought with him his doctrine. And now people in England got excited. They spoke in tongues. They had miracles. And they said, hey, Jesus is coming back. Imminent return. But we know from 2 Thessalonians that Jesus will not return until after the Antichrist has been revealed to come in power. So in the religious department, I said, now fine, we got it moved from Spain to England. How do we get it over to America? Well, they found a guy, and I'm simply shortening it up here right now, by the name of John Darby. Now, John Darby was a rebel rouser to a degree, and he got out of the Church of England, and he came up with the smart idea and simply saying this, professional clergy is a sin. You cannot have pastors, you cannot have a bishop, you cannot have anyone paid clergy. That's sinful. So he and a bunch of his buddies started another movement called the Plymouth Brethren. Now, most of you have never heard about the Plymouth Brethren. You know, it's not ice cream, it's actually a movement. And I wish it was ice cream, but it's not. So, in the religious department, I said, here is our perfect candidate. So the English manuscript now was given to John Darby. And John Darby simply said, wow, this is revelation from God. We got to get this out. Take your Bibles right now and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. If you pick it up from verse number 11 through 16, here's what Paul said. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Ministers are from Jesus, not from the devil. Now, understand this. If you got false doctrine, it is going to simply contaminate the entire understanding you have of the Bible. In the old days, they had leaven. This was before you could go and buy yeast in the supermarket. And what they did was, when they were ladies were baking, time of Jesus, they simply had a little container where they had left the dough from last week and had fermented. And so they would take that dough, fermented dough, and they would mix it in by the new dough they were making. And the germs there would eat the sugar, and that would create gas, and that is how bread is rising. You bake it, you kill the germs, but now you have the bread a little bigger. So Jesus said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you got false doctrine, it will color you. Now, John Darby was not a rich man. So they simply, in the religious department, said, no, this is beyond us. Let's call it the finance department. It's done in the spirit world now. The finance department director simply was told, we need to finance this guy, Darby. The finance director said, no problem. I got a banker, Henry Drummond Jr. This banker was bitten by the doctrine and said, oh, man, this is of God. And he financed Darby, who traveled to Europe, came to the United States. He was here five times between 1862 and 1877, and he became a workhorse for the religious department. And he spread the message. When Darby came with his doctrine to America, Christians were active on school boards. They were active in city councils. They were active on county commissioners. They were active in state government. They were active in the federal government. Christians were attorneys. They were doctors. They were everywhere. And the Christians took their ethics. They took the Ten Commandments. And they simply created an educational system that was based upon the Bible. Let me ask you a stupid question now. You are a parent, and you have a child, or children. You love your children, and now you're going to educate them. Would you send your children to spend 6 to 7 hours a day in a classroom with a person who is either a witch, an agnostic, an atheist, a secular, a feminist, that hates God, that hates the Bible, that hates Christianity? Would you say, that is a good teacher for my child? You would say, no. But that's what we do with public schools. So Satan simply had told the religious department, get the Christians out of the public arena. How do we do that? By telling them that Jesus' return is imminent. And they were told, don't get involved in politics. Don't get involved in anything. Jesus is coming back any day. He's coming back now. So the Christians left politics. They left all the educational system. And who took it over? Lucifer's people. And what did they do? They created a satanic curriculum, and they destroyed our children. And what you see now, the congressmen, the congresswomen, the people in charge now, they are the results of the Lacunza doctrine. Amen. And they do not like it. This week, President Trump had about 10, 15 doctors standing outside for an interview. One was a black doctor. She was a female from Texas someplace, I think. I could be wrong. And this black female medical doctor said that we have treatment. We can give them hydrochloroquine. We can give them this and that, and they're all getting better. And then she said, furthermore, some sicknesses is caused by demons. And the press went, bah! Demons, huh? This woman is superstitious. She was crucified on the spot. She was raped across the United States as a lunatic because she talked about demons. Demons do cause sickness at times. You understand that? How much we have been indoctrinated? Now we come to Cyrus Schofield. Now, Cyrus Schofield was born 1843. He came from Michigan. And during the Civil War, he rebelled against the North, became a Confederate soldier, was wounded, married, lived in Kansas, and he became an attorney without any education. He was a shyster. Now, he became involved in bribery, politics after the Civil War. He had to flee to Canada. He abandoned his family. Never got a divorce. He just abandoned them. Married somebody else later on. And then sitting in jail at the age of 36, an alcoholic, a scoundrel, a criminal, he got saved. A bunch of Christian women came in and they led him to Christ. The religious department said, "This is our boy. That's the perfect one to take the torch in America." So, they simply got him going, and they now moved him to a church, a Presbyterian church, where you had Pastor James Brooks, and James Brooks had got the Lacunza Doctrine. He swore by it. Here comes Cyrus now, brand new Christian, former alcoholic, a scoundrel. He reads that. He likes it. He gets excited. He's now demonized. He's anointed by evil spirits. And he begins now, as a minister, he begins to move. He became a pastor. It didn't take him long to become a pastor. And he traveled in the United States. He converted pastor to the Lacunza Doctrine. And Brooks had become a total disciple of Darby. And he zealously worked to spread the Lacunza Doctrine. So now, Lucifer simply said, "We got Cyrus running around in America. But we got the big prize. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist." And so what I did was that Cyrus weaseled himself into the Moody organization. He got all kind of different things. So he became a director for the American Home Missionary Society. He spread it wildly. Let me slow down now. At this time when Cyrus was doing this, Baptist churches did not believe in a rapture before the tribulation. The Pentecostal church was not born yet. Evangelical church didn't believe it. The fundamental church didn't believe it. This was a fringe doctrine that was frowned upon by most of the clergy. But Lucifer simply used Schofield's success. He was able to get the Dallas Theological Seminary going. And all of you remember, all the ones remember Hal Lindsey, the great late Planet Earth. You remember the series of Tim LaHaye, Left Behind. It's all Lacunza doctrine coming out of this. Now, let's flip over here to the next page. So Schofield started a magazine in 1880. He dropped it, became a Moody Bible Institute publication. And so what we now had is that Schofield had got in, set things up, and between Moody Bible Institute, Biola in Los Angeles, Dallas Theological Seminary, we now had points that Satan had set up. Schofield was financed by the Lotus Club. The Lotus Club was run by a Jewish mafia guy that was also a Kabbalist. And they came out with a Schofield Bible. The Schofield Bible had a lot of notes in it. And the note simply is like Kunsa plus Schofield's own spin on the Bible. The man had no training. He had no archaeologist. He had no history. And this flunky creates a Bible version called the Schofield Bible that by 1940 was a staple Bible among Baptists, Pentecostals, Evangelicals, and by 1940, it was a done deal. The church had changed. Now, in the documentary on heaven, they showed all of this. They showed clips they had taken from the religious department, the demons had taken films and so on. They showed different things. And let's do here to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to read first to you here. Once the rapture document here was edited by the religious department, it was shown in a private viewing to the supreme leader and the pastor. They were stunned by the fabulous video presentation. What a victory it was for Lucifer, who had been able to deceive the majority of Christian pastors, evangelists, and church members, and they had not been stopped by the Holy Spirit. And the pastor, they were simply saying this now, why were we not stopped? How were we able to succeed? And the pastor said, look at the scripture, because they do read scripture. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteous them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. When you are given false doctrine, you accept it, you have delusion. Now, I remember up to 1979, I was preaching like Kunsa doctrine. I simply told people, Jesus came back imminently. Don't get involved in this and that. I was a mouthpiece for the devil. And I remember meeting this Baptist pastor, Gordon Ginn. And he asked me this. Where did you learn this doctrine from? Well, I heard it in my church. The pastor talked about it and I read Hal Lynch's book, you know, and so on. And Gordon asked me this. He said, is it what's in the Bible? Well, I really haven't researched that much, you know. It was on TV. It must be true. They told me in church it must be true. So I got angry. I said, Gordon, you're full of, you know what? And Gordon said, let's study this together. Have an open mind. I show you scriptures. I said, okay, man, let's go for it. He started showing me scripture I showed you today. I said, this doesn't add up. And I realized I've been barking up the wrong tree. Why? Because the lie was repeated to me over and over, and I simply bought into it. I thank God that I got out of it. Now, going back into the manuscript here. So they show this in three different settings. And in the world at that time, the people were simply, they were riveted to the television sets. And they showed clips of Christians running to the hills looking for Jesus to come back. Now, to those of you a little bit older, do you remember family radio? Do you remember Harold Camping? Do you remember Harold Camping? Christ was going to come back in 85. He was coming back in 2011. And 100,000 Christians plus that listened to family radio. They were told, Jesus is coming back. I think they had May 14th, 2011. He told them this, you have a year. Sell your homes. Buy motor homes. Put signs on them. travel to the United States. Run up your credit cards. You will never have to pay it off. Let's go out and do a blitz and get people saved. Jesus is coming. Did Jesus come back in May 2011? No. Harold Camping, a champion for the devil, said, oh, I did a miscalculation. It's September. Did he come back in September? No. Did the staff take him off family radio? No. He controlled them. Who took him off? God. He gave him a stroke a few years later. And family radio changed. But I never apologized to the Christian community. And there are hundreds of thousands of Christians today that will never darken a church door, that simply lost their faith because of one man, Harold Camping. So they showed now on the screens at the time of the Antichrist, the Christians standing on the hills waiting. And when Jesus didn't come back and they realized there was no rapture, they start cursing the pastors. Many of them took their Bibles and threw them down and said, I don't believe this anymore. Give me the mark of the beast. Lucifer is God. Here's what I'm saying to you right now, so we wrap this up. The majority of the Christians living at the time when the Antichrist system will come into power will take the mark of the beast. It will be done in churches. The pastor will stand there and simply tell their flock, we have to eat, we have to go to the hospital, we got to have places to live, you got to take care of your children. We cannot do this. By the way, the mark of the beast is a joke anyway, because we don't believe in the book of Revelation. And mark my words, there's going to be millions that will simply be damned. I want to end with Revelation, chapter 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed and sang with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink out of wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of the torment are sent up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, whosoever receives the mark of his name. What is my job? My job as a preacher is to present truth. I was in error at one time. Praise God for the Holy Spirit that corrected me. Thank God that I had enough sense to yield to Scripture. And not be emotional and say, well, that's what we always believed. I yielded to Scriptures. There are some of you watching me today that will be alive when the Antichrist comes. He might be here in 5 years. He might be 10 years. We are close. The technology is here. The only thing that stops the Antichrist right now is the United States of America. Our Constitution cannot be overridden by him. He has to get rid of America. And you will be in that time. And you'll be told, a certain date, we go from a different financial system. You have to have a microchip put in your hand or your forehead. Or if you don't do it, you cannot buy or sell. Remember this. Don't damn yourself to hell and later the lake of fire. It's better to die and go to heaven than to live for 20, 30 years and then roast in the lake of fire forever. And the smoke of the torment are sent up forever and ever. And they have no rest, no day or night, to worship the beast as image, whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandment of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may have rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. We're getting close to this time. And when the time comes, There will be changes. The question is, how will you fare? How will you stand up? If you're not saved and you said, I need to get saved now, you can do it. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ, you believe, is the Son of God. Ask God to forgive you. Ask Jesus to come into your life and save you. When we finish here, the screen will change. Three crosses will come up. And you'll hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying, my friend, he will take you through steps to salvation. Pray with you, you get saved today. If you are a pre-tribber, and you says, you know, I don't care what you said today, I don't believe it. Take my outline. Spend time on the internet. Check everything that I presented today. And you will find that what I told you is truth. Look up every scripture I share with you. And then say, God, help me to know the truth. It is important. I presented it. I might have lost some people today that said, well, we're not going to hear that guy again. That's fine. My job is to present the truth and let the chips fall where they fall. Because I work for God, not for people. I love you, and I hope that you will take time and study. I'm going to ask Brother Soteris to come and close in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for a good message, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this will wake up people and realize they learn the wrong thing. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you touch people all around. We pray in the name of Jesus and accept this message, O Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we want to thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father, for all the people will accept it. People will bow their knees before the Lord, our God, and say, forgive me, Lord, for following the wrong doctrine, following the wrong teaching. And there are a lot of evangelists all around that they have the same, they have the same teaching, that it will be a rapture before the tribulation. And we, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that each and every one of them will realize that they're being deceived. And we want to thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father. Anoint your people, Lord. I pray, Father, that it will be awakening. It will be, oh Lord, something wonderful happening all around those people that heard this message. We pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, they're following the wrong gospel. Oh, thank you, Lord, that only the King James Bible should be read and nothing else, because the others are bastard Bibles. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for, oh Lord, for that it would be an awakening, Lord, among the Christian people and among the unsaved people. We pray in the name of Jesus, and we pray, O Lord, that people will come to Christ left and right. We pray all over the country, all over the world. We want to see, O Lord, we want to see a revival taking place, Lord. Although a lot of destruction is going on, God can turn it around in the twinkle of an eye. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you do that, O Lord. I pray, O Lord, that we see a revival, O Lord, erupting, O Lord, and the devil will be defeated and God's name will be glorified. And we want to thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father, for mighty victory. We want to give you all the praise. We want to give you, Lord, all the glory and all the honor. And this prayer we pray in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen and amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Thank you. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the fourth part in the series, Living During the Tribulation, and was entitled, The Rapture Hoax. The false rapture teaching is one of the cruelest jokes Lucifer ever pulled on Christianity. This false doctrine originated with a Jesuit priest named Manuel de Lacunza, a Kabbalistic crypto-Jew from Santiago, Chile. Edward Irving in England was convinced Lacunza's writings were a revelation from God and translated them into English. John Darby brought this heretical doctrine to America through the Plymouth Brethren. He reached a Presbyterian pastor that was connected to a criminal named Cyrus Schofield, who in turn was able to infiltrate D.L. Moody's organization and propagate it to the Moody Bible Institutes in Chicago and Los Angeles and Dallas Theological Seminary. Christians were soon convinced to abandon their positions in county, state, and federal government because Jesus was returning. It only took 150 years for the rapture hoax to become mainstream in evangelical, Pentecostal, and Baptist churches. This is why, under the authority of the supreme leader, the majority of Christians decide to renounce Christ and join the beast system. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1767. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.